In 1941, the federal government needed someone to sell farmers living near the Columbia River on a huge public works project, the Grand Coulee Dam. So they hired folk singer Woody Guthrie. He spent the whole month of May 1941 traveling around Washington and Oregon and writing songs for a government-made documentary about the river, the farmers, and how the dam would make life better.
On up the river at Grand Coulee Dam, mightiest thing ever built by a man, to run the great factors for old Uncle Sam. Let's roll on, Columbia, roll on.
Greg Vandy is a DJ for KEXP. His new book chronicles the history and cultural impact of Guthrie's journey. The book is called 26 Songs in 30 Days, Woody Guthrie's Columbia River Songs and the Planned Promised Land in the Pacific Northwest. Vandy talked with Jeannie Yandel about what Guthrie's songs did for the government and what they did for people in this region. Starting with the song we've been hearing, Roll On Columbia.
Your power is turning our darkness to dawn. Roll on, Columbia, roll on.
Turning our darkness into dawn, which literally means, you know, using the Grand Coulee Dam as a way to generate hydroelectricity, which would literally bring electricity to rural people for the first time. I mean, if you can imagine people in the 1930s living out, you know, in rural areas and outside of the cities of the Northwest, they didn't have electricity. So, you know, imagine their lifestyle, you know, cooking on a wood stove and, you know, farming without electricity was a very hard life. So Woody really voiced the need for everyone that, yeah, you know, turning your darkness into dawn is a really beneficial thing, you know, in those days.
Aside from providing electricity for these rural people in eastern Washington and eastern Oregon, why was the Grand Coulee Dam such a life-changing thing for our region?
Well, you know, it really brought people into the modern world. You know, with there was really an experiment really in social democracy in a way. So it was a way in which, you know, the government could affect the life and, you know, the happiness of people in our regions by providing them with these benefits, which were hydroelectricity, newly irrigated land, which people could start over and become farmers in the Columbia Basin, and trying to create sort of a new democracy in which it was putting people first. And this idea of social democracy was something that was very attractive to Woody Guthrie.
The book that you wrote about this project is called 26 Songs in 30 Days. So that tells us something about what Woody Guthrie did when he was out here in the Columbia River Basin. He wrote nearly a song a day. But what else was he doing when he was out here?
Woody toured the Columbia Basin with a driver named Elmer Bueller. And so he was able to sort of see the land and be inspired by the projects.
I'm just a stranger traveling through your land. You need a right good worker on your big Grand Coulee Dam.
And then we'd go back to Portland and write the songs in the BPA office there on Oregon Street. And Stephen Kahn, the director, you know, held them to this sort of idea of a song a day. Kahn's theory was like when he was working in Hollywood with screenwriters, they had to turn in 3 pages of stuff, whether it was good or bad or whatever. And so he held Woody to that same sort of requirement.
What impact did the songs that Woody Guthrie wrote about the Grand Coulee Dam, what impact did they have on the American public?
Yeah, well, the songs didn't really have an immediate impact because the film never got made and wasn't really completed until 1949. The war interrupted the production, and it eventually got made. But by that time, Woody had already recorded the best songs of these Columbia River songs for Moash in New York City for Folkways in the mid-1940s. So a lot of the versions that we know, like Hard Traveling and Talking Columbia Blues.
Way down the road, cutting out wheat and stacking out hay and trying to make about $1 a day, and I've been having some hard traveling, Lord.
These are songs that Woody recorded after the Portland experience, and then these songs eventually sort of found their way to other singers and other revivalists really in the late 50s and in the early 60s. So Woody really, you know, he really became sort of the legend that we know. He was really more of this kind of father figure, the silent father figure to a lot of the folk revivalists of the 1960s.
Woody Guthrie grew up in Oklahoma. He was one of the refugees from the Dust Bowl. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the farmers who had to leave the Dust Bowl saw the Columbia River Basin as kind of a promised land. How did the songs that Woody Guthrie wrote about the Columbia River Basin speak to that?
After irrigation, this dry area, this unusable land, would become usable. And as you see it today, is really one of the breadbaskets of the region is the Columbia Basin. That's because of the water diverted at the Grand Coulee Dam site down into the Columbia Basin. So the idea was literally at the time of the 1930s, it was to sort of relocate people who were homeless and who were migrants and have them move to the Northwest and start their lives over again. So the Columbia Basin was really sort of an answer to the Dust Bowl crisis. You know, that was the sort of idea. So Woody, of course, was really sort of rallied behind that idea and was really inspired to write these songs to express that idea.
Is there a song that springs to mind that reflects some of those ideas about migrants from the Dust Bowl finding a new place to live and work?
Yeah, exactly. The song Pastures of Plenty is all about that.
It's a mighty hard road that my poor hand is holding.
You know, the hard life of migrants who left the Dust Bowl and, you know, found disappointment and corruption in the California experience.
Out of your Dust Bowl and westward we rolled, and your desert was hot and your mountains was cold.
The idea of the Columbia Basin irrigated to create this sort of promised land for people to go start their lives over again was very appealing to Woody in that song.
I worked in your orchards of peaches and prunes, slept on the ground in the light of your moon.
Woody's famous for all of the Dust Bowl ballads, and I find that the Columbia River songs are optimistic answers or solutions to his earlier documents of the Dust Bowl, and Pastures of Plenty fits that perfectly. You know, it talks about, you know, the struggles of migrants and that the waters of the Columbia River and, you know, the irrigation of the Columbia Basin would create a pasture of plenty.
Green pastures of plenty from dry desert ground, from that Grand Coulee Dam where the water runs down.
So literally, you know, Eastern Washington, the Columbia Basin is the pastures of plenty.
We talked about what the Bonneville Power Administration, what the federal government wanted the Columbia River Basin to represent for refugees from the Dust Bowl. What do you think this opportunity to write these songs represented for Woody Guthrie?
Yeah, well, he was needing a job, right? So just like everyone else during the Depression, Woody needed a gig. And so this was a great opportunity because he was really, as we describe it in the book, you know, going through a winter of discontent in early 1941. And so the idea of getting paid to be a songwriter was very appealing to him. It also was an opportunity for him to do sort of this sort of patriotic thing. He was really attracted to the idea that it was not only just a songwriting gig, but something that he actually believed in because it was really a project that would benefit his people, you know. And so the idea of working for the government in this capacity was really a patriotic effort in his mind.
At the time when Woody Guthrie wrote these songs in 1941, they didn't have a lot of impact on the American public. In fact, they weren't even really heard until years later in some cases. But why do you like these songs that Woody Guthrie wrote about the Columbia River Basin so much? What do they say to you?
Well, you know, they're about us. You know, these songs are about our region. And Woody, you know, there's a famous quote that we use in the book where Woody says, you know, when someone recognizes the place you've been to or the street you live on or the neighborhood you grew up in, there's a certain kind of quiet pride that sort of builds up inside of you. And that's really what these songs are about for me. And I think for a lot of Northwesterners, is that these songs are about our region. And Woody, in some of these songs, you know, sort of, They're sort of love letters to the area, you know, the descriptions of the pristine Columbia Gorge in 1941.
She heads up the Canadian Rockies where the rippling waters glide, comes a rumbling down the canyon to meet that salted tide of the wide Pacific Ocean where the sun sets in the west and the big Grand Coulee country in the land I love the best.
That's something that is, I think, is fantastic. And you know, we wrote the book, me and my co-writer Dan Pearson, to sort of, you know, let people know, you know, it's interesting that a lot of folks don't know these songs really relate to them, but they do.
of the day the Cooley Dam would cross that wild and wasted stream. Uncle Sam took up the challenge in the year of 33 for the farmer and the factory and all of you and me. He said, roll along, Columbia, you can ramble to the sea, but a river while you're rambling, you can do some work for me.
Greg Vandy, he's the host of The Roadhouse on KEXP. His book is called 26 Songs in 30 Days. Vandy talked with KOW's Jeannie Yandel. If you'd like to hear more of Woody Guthrie's music, we're tweeting about a tribute concert at Benaroya Hall. That's happening on May 26th. And there'll also be a free concert and laser show Saturday, May 28th at the Grand Coulee Dam in northeastern Washington.
Well, she tore their boats to splinters, but she gave men dreams to dream of the day the Coulee Dam would cross that wild and wasted stream.